And I was listening to Rokan's show yesterday, and the news came that John Mahoney had passed away, and one of the first people I thought about was our Nick DiGilio. Everybody's got a story and a way to react to it. Bob Saget was talking about it yesterday afternoon with Ro. It was an interesting conversation. But I thought about Nick, and I don't know much about John Mahoney. I know a little bit about this guy named Nick DiGilio, who does a great show here, but it seems to me like I remember that Nick was pretty close to and a big fan of John Mahoney's. And Mahoney was really good about taking Nick's calls and coming on Nick's show. And so did we wake Nick up? Hi, Nick. How are you this afternoon?
Hey. Yeah, normally I'm asleep at this time, but for some reason I was awake when I got the message that you wanted to chat about Mahoney.
Yeah. So what was your relationship like with him, Nick?
It was mostly through theater. I only personally met him a few times, but when he would guest on Roy's show, I would always interview him. He was on my show, I believe, once or twice, but I knew him through my connection to Chicago theater. One of the great things about John Mahoney was that, you know, he was this massive TV star on this big hit series. He made movies, but he always lived here. He lived in Oak Park. He shopped at a Jewel. This is the kind of guy that John was.
Yeah.
And so his connection to Chicago theater, he did a lot of theater. I mean, everybody knows famously that he was a member of Steppenwolf. He did a lot of work with Steppenwolf. But he did work with non-union theaters, very small theater companies. And I knew him through that. I had friends who had acted with him, and I passed him through the circles of Chicago storefront theater. Always been a fan, obviously. But the one story that I think is my favorite John Mahoney story after, you know, talking to him, you know, a few times and knowing him, you know, professionally through the radio station. This is years ago when I was still a drinking man. I was at a bar called O'Rourke's. And O'Rourke's was located at one point on Halsted Street, right across the street from the Steppenwolf Theater. And one night I was in there with a group of friends, and I had had a couple of cocktails. And Mahoney came in after a performance. He was in a play across the street at the Steppenwolf. He comes in, he sits down with a group of people at the end of the bar, and I'm feeling no pain. And I say to my friends, I'm going to go over to Mahoney. And, you know, he knew me. At that point, he knew me a little bit, not that much. Knew me from, you know, probably interviewing on the radio and stuff, but he wouldn't know me from Adam if I just came up to him without introducing myself. So I walk to the end of the bar, and he's there, he's talking, and I walk up to him, and I stick my hand out, he shakes my hand, and I scream in his face, I'm incarcerated, Lloyd! And that's my favorite line from Say Anything, which he says in the movie. So it's my favorite line, I'm incarcerated, Lloyd! And he starts laughing, gratefully, not punching me or having me removed from the premises.
No.
So I say the line, I smile, I'm a big fan, and I walk away, and he sends a beer down my way. And then years later, Entertainment Weekly did an anniversary issue where they talked with people from movies that were celebrating an anniversary. So they were doing an anniversary piece on Say Anything, which I still think is Mahoney's best performance, movie-wise. And so they were talking with the cast and crew. They had John Cusack and Cameron Crowe and Ione Skye. And then they talked to Mahoney, and they asked Mahoney, what do you think about the longevity of this movie and the quotability of this movie? And he says, you know, I got to tell you one of my favorite stories. I was in a bar in Chicago, and this drunk guy walked up to me and screamed, I'm incarcerated, Lloyd, in my face. And it's one of my favorite memories associated with Say Anything. And that drunk guy was me. And so it's one of my favorite stories, and it's a weird connection that I'll always have. And the fact that, you know, like, he still remembered that and thought it was funny and not just some obnoxious idiot screaming a line of dialogue in his face. But that's the kind of guy that John Mahoney was. Kind to a fault and generous and just great. And obviously a great actor. I mean, just you go back and see anything that he does. I mean, Say Anything is still my favorite performance of his, but he's great in Barton Fink. He's great in Moonstruck. He's great in Primal Fear. And obviously his work on Frasier, you know, goes without saying. He was a gentleman. And again, lived in Oak Park. You know, they offered him tons of money to do reunions for Frasier. He said, nope, I've made enough money. I can do theater and live in Oak Park, and that's what I'm going to do. So,
I love that story, Nick. Well, what was it about his craft? Michael Phillips wrote about that today. Probably film critics like you are thinking, talking, and writing about that all across the country today. But what was it that made him so good? What was it that made him John Mahoney?
I think it was you can identify with this guy. He was like an everyman, and it didn't, you know, it It didn't matter what role there was. He brought a humanism to it. Like, he was just a guy that you immediately liked him, or if he played a villain, you found yourself, you know, attracted to him and mesmerized by him because he had that way about him. He was approachable, even in films, he was. And he had this quality. He was a hard worker, man. I mean, he was a guy who, you know, he didn't start acting until he was 40. And you know, he was doing day jobs until then. And then he became a member of Steppenwolf. John Malkovich brought him in. And Steppenwolf was in its infancy at that time. And, you know, they were working out of a church at that time, doing shows out of a church. This was in the late 70s. And they just started their footing. And Malkovich brought him in because he thought, oh, this guy's a good actor. And also, he's old. He can play the older roles that we can't afford to pay older actors who are union. So they basically brought him in so he could play the older roles. And he took off from there. And his work ethic was beyond. I had a friend who worked with him in Long Day's Journey Into Night at a small Irish theater company. This was back in 2000. And said that his work ethic was amazing, and that, you know, that he was very generous, and he made other actors better. And you can see that in every movie he does. There's just this wonderful chemistry between Ione Skye, who plays his daughter in Say Anything. That relationship that they have is just it's subtle, it's complex, and both actors are at the top of their game. And Mahoney made people better, and he was just an incredible actor.
I think a lot of people are thinking of Frasier stuff. I hadn't thought about Moonstruck in a really long time, although I've always liked that movie. I don't know where that is on your list, but
I love it.
I remember that movie affectionately, and he has a small role in there. And so I went back and watched his scene in that movie today, and what an ass he was, you know,
yes.
At one moment, and then utterly charming in the same scene. And I thought,
yeah,
how could you hate a guy so much? Just go, oh God, this guy's the worst. And then he sits down with Olivia Dukakis, right? And they have this lovely little dinner, and you go, oh my God, this guy is charming. It was the same scene.
It, you know, he does that similarly in a movie called Tin Men, which is a Barry Levinson movie about aluminum siding salesman with Danny DeVito and Richard Dreyfuss. And he's in that as well, and plays it similarly. Charming, you think he's obnoxious, but he's charming. And he was always like, he had a million-dollar smile too, Mahoney. Every time he smiled, he lit up a room. And one of my friends on Facebook posted I think my favorite picture, because everybody posted stories and tributes and stuff yesterday on social media. People were talking about it, obviously. But one of my friends on Facebook, who is a terrific writer as well, an author of great books, he posted the word goodbye. And then underneath it was a picture of the empty chair that Marty Crane sat in, that Frasier wanted to get rid of. And it was just a picture of that empty chair, and it said goodbye. And I thought that was like a really beautiful little tribute to, you know, to John Mahoney.
Okay, bud, the Giglio Film Club is still up and running well?
Yeah. First Tuesday of each month. Tonight I'm hosting a big one. Tonight is one of the best movies ever made, The Philadelphia Story. You know, with three little stars, you know, Cary Grant, Katharine Hepburn, and Jimmy Stewart. Just a few stars are in it.
Why'd you pick this one, Nick?
I know. I can't figure it out. How can anybody pick this movie? Now, it's really seriously one of the best romantic comedies ever made. And to see it on the big screen is going to be a treat because, you know, I've never seen it on the big screen. The movie came out 78 years ago. So, you know, and it still holds up. It's such a great movie. And it's also, I just wanted to mention, I'll be there. What happens is at these screenings, I introduce the movie. We watch it together, and then we do like Q&A afterwards, and I give you behind-the-scenes stories and trivia about the making of the movie. And tonight we got a special treat. My late-night cohort, Patty Vasquez from WGN, is going to co-introduce the movie with me because it's one of her favorite movies of all time, and she knows every line. So I was like, well, come on down and introduce the movie with me. So the two of us are going to introduce it. We'll watch the movie. It starts at 8 o'clock. The movie starts at 8. And you can reserve your seats now at amctheaters.com. And it's at the Rosemont, 18 Rosemont, formerly Movie Co. So.
By the way, my producer on Saturdays, Griffin, has struck out this year to try and watch a movie a day for 365 days. And that sounds ambitious and crazy. And
he struck out. It's only February.
No, by that I mean he's struck out. He's trying to do that. He's, you know, cast off. He's trying to do that.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Okay.
So struck out, hey, it's only February. Couldn't get through 31 days plus a few.
I was going to say.
But then I thought, well, wait a minute. I'm like, this is crazy. Nobody can do it. And then I thought, no, I think Nick already does that. So how many movies do you watch a week, Nick?
Well, it depends on how many movies are released. there is an average, and sometimes it's lower, sometimes it's higher, but there's an average of 5 movies a week if you figure it all out. And I see at least 4 or 5 a week, at least.
His project is, all of the movies are new to him, but for instance, if he hasn't seen Philadelphia Story yet, he'd go to your thing and watch it for the first time, write about that, along with the other 6 he saw that week. So some of them will be The Shape of Water, some of them will be an old Jimmy Stewart movie all in the same week. So that's
fun.
That's the plan. All right, so let me just read this thing one more time, make sure everybody's got it. At the AMC Dine-In, Rosemont 18 in Rosemont, Illinois, join Nick DiGilio for the romantic comedy classic, The Philadelphia Story. Cary Grant, Katharine Hepburn, James Stewart, digitally restored. The Nick DiGilio Fan Club at AMC, formerly Movico, Rosemont 18. Dinner, drinks at Bogart's at 6:30. The movie starts at 8, and then Nick leads a discussion afterwards. Patty's going to be there, too. $14.49, is that the cost for this bad boy?
Yeah, and it's free parking and free popcorn. And, you know, a bag of popcorn nowadays costs $17.50. So.
Hey, do you have the movie pass?
I do not. I do not. I hear good things about it. I have friends who are using it. I go to the movies frequently, but I use I have the AMC Stubs program, which I really like. You get rewards from that and everything. I know it's a different thing than the movie pass. It's a different kind of thing, but I'm happy with that. And I didn't change, but you get rewards, you get discounts, you get free tickets and all kinds of stuff. So I've been with the Stubs program for many years now, and I like that.
AMCtheaters.com. You on the radio tonight?
Right. Well, 2 a.m., yes. So actually, technically, Wednesday morning. But, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. And Patty precedes me, and we're both going to be at Rosemont tonight.
We'll be listening. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
That's Nick DiGilio. You hear him late nights, overnights on WGN Radio. It's